You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From our studio to yours, this is Various Artists.
Ahi ahi māri e tēnā koutou katoa, ko mea tōku ingoa.
Ko se whi tōku ingoa, nau mai hare mai ki Various Artists mō tēnei wiki. God, it is rainy and gross today.
It is so rainy. I'm so bundled up. I still have my scarf on, actually.
Yeah, Maya's got one of those awesome, like, knitted, yes, like, hooded scarves, and I need one so badly.
I know. My friend made it for me.
What a treat.
You need some friends who can knit.
I do.
I can knit, but, like,
this
not...
This is a call-out.
Not
actually
very well.
Someone knit me one of those.
I can make you a really bad version.
Oh, thanks.
Of it.
Yeah, please. Let's do it.
It's better than nothing.
Hey, we'll talk. We'll talk.
Yeah.
What have we got on the show today?
Yeah, I caught up with artist Andrea Du Chatinier about her upcoming show on at Anna Miles Gallery, Everything Falls. Soph, what have you got today?
I caught up with artist August Ward about her solo exhibition, World of Interiors, opening tonight at Ivan Anthony.
Here aha of Fakata. Would love to hear your thoughts on these pieces. So tuku patsahi mai. You can text us on 5395-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5 fine.
Also, after the show, kawa e ware ware e ahea na koutou, te whakarongo ki e nei kōrero anō, hei pakihere roki roki maronga I te pai tuku tuku o irirangi poho, me haere ki 95BFM irakati.com. You can catch all of these chats and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com.
Yes, darling, but is it art?
August Ward is an artist who grew up in Tāmaki Makaurau, whose primarily painting practice explores the visual signature and emblems of affluence and desire, consumption and the idealized female form, existing in the uncanny valley of womanhood, letting the contrast and intersection of imperfection and glamour lead the work both practically and conceptually. Her current solo exhibition, World of Interiors, opening tonight at Ivan Anthony, sees Ward furthering her exploration in this realm of subject matter, expanding her painting and drawing practice in scale and form, bringing these sculptural qualities into the works and space surrounding. Crystals adorning the canvas to form a necklace, ledges attached at the base of others with taxidermied mice, and a cavity for a misty or perfume to perch, these symbols become physical adornments to the glamour of their pictorial counterparts. Pushing and pulling each painting's textural potential, the idea of the surface sits at the forefront of her relationship with oil painting, graphite as her primary mediums. I caught up with August about World of Interiors ahead of its opening tonight. Here's her interview now.
My name's August Ward. I'm a painter from Auckland. I guess the main themes that would underpin my practice would probably be desire, consumerism, display, kind of these fetish objects of consumerism and packaging and advertising, as well as just general glamorous objects. They're my main themes. And my medium is oil paint, but I also do a lot of pencil and drawing as well.
We're here, of course, today to speak a little to your exhibition opening tonight at Ivan Anthony, World of Interiors. You last showed with Ivan in late 2024 with your show Signature. Looking at this current exhibition, while the works sit in this similar realm of subject that's been long propelling your practice, this current show feels a little different in application and form. Reflecting on your last show at the gallery, what do you think has been the main change in your approach to painting and your practice in the last nearly 2 years?
I think the change in scale between the two shows would be the biggest, most obvious one, as well as I've kind of done a bit of a salon hang at this one, which is actually Ivan's idea and something that I was slightly resistant to at first, but I think really works. Yeah, the shift in scale would be the big one, from kind of these large, very, very large paintings to these really small ones, which I think is quite a fun transition.
For sure. I think something that also stood out to me was, I guess, the more sculptural qualities of the work, incorporating crystals into a painting to form a necklace, adding ledges to other works for taxidermied mice to sit on, a cavity for a misty or perfume, and of course a large taxidermied silver fox on wood, which sits in the middle of the space. What kind of led you to this expansion of your painting practice and incorporation of these more sculptural forms?
Well, it was actually, I took a trip with my boyfriend at the end of last year, and we went to a lot of art galleries, but also a lot of museums, and particularly natural history museums. And I feel like at some point something clicked. Well, actually, I saw a Robert Rauschenberg painting that had an eagle in it, and I kind of, yeah, thought about all of these things that had been inspiring me so much and how I could combine it into my painting practice. Yeah, and so incorporating the objects was definitely like a big step forward, I feel, incorporating my interest into my painting practice.
Are you able to speak a little bit more to that incorporation of taxidermy specifically into your work? Where did that kind of come from? Is that kind of a lead on from that trip as well?
Yes, definitely. Of course, I looked at a lot of taxidermy, and it was really inspiring me, and kind of how taxidermy has got like a strange glamorous power to it. Like it's kind of an attraction, revulsion kind of a feeling towards it, because it's obviously so strange, like taking the skin off of a dead animal and preserving it forever, but also, yeah, so glamorous.
It's got a strange luxury to it.
Yeah, it does have a strange luxury. And because I guess, yeah, like I've got a personal, I love fur coats and fur things. And so it's like there's a kind of a natural progression to taxidermy there.
I guess it connects nicely to my next question. You spoke a little to this earlier, but your practice tends to paint these desirable consumer high-end items and this exploration of glamour, objects of desire in everyday life, then connecting these ideas to womanhood, gender, and transsexuality. Are you able to speak a little bit more to the subject matter that binds your practice generally and how you approach the exploration of this in this show specifically?
Well, I think that it is about desire, but it's also about taste. Like, I think that's one of my core ideas in my practice. Like, what is taste? And, like, what makes these, like, glamorized objects, like, tasteful or trashy, you know? And there's some expression of that in this show because, like, leopard print is one of those things that falls really on the margin of tasteful and trashy. You know, it can exist in so many different spaces. Like, it can be like a silk pillow and like a gorgeous couch, or it can be a fleecy polyester blanket. It's, I guess, an exploration of the idea of taste and these objects, not necessarily a celebration of them, even though I do enjoy it. And I feel like it's the same with perfumes, you know, like a designer perfume is the cheapest thing you can possibly buy from a designer, and it's kind of the lowest thing that they have for sale. It's quite, yeah, commercial and across the board. I think in this show especially I was exploring these intersections of kind of taste and femininity and glamour.
I guess with that as well, you've long noted that an important archetypal place of inspiration for these ideas in your practice is looking to the Real Housewife, as in the TV franchise, but also as a concept and their relationship to the idealized female form and consumption. Are you able to speak a little to the connection you've drawn between these ideas and where that sits within your practice?
Yeah, well, because I guess, like, the Real Housewife as, like, an archetype is this kind of, like, on the surface, like, perfected, kind of glamorized woman who's, like, the ultimate consumer and never wears the same outfit twice. But there's also something, like, unhinged and, like, messy about it, you know? Like, they have these horrendous fights with their friends and smash glasses at restaurants and stuff. Like, it's kind of this, it's, like, the unbridled power of glamour, in a way, in the female archetype.
I feel like texture and the idea of surface feels very present in your style, with thick oil paint and strong pencil lines often sitting at the forefront of your paintings. I'd love to hear a bit about your relationship with the materials you work with. What interests you in the, I guess, textural potential of a painting?
Yeah, well, I think drawing out the surface is very important for me, and kind of sculpting a painting. I feel like I'm quite direct in that way. Like, I can't really a lot of the time be bothered, like, sitting there blending perfectly and stuff. It's kind of, yeah, there's a really strong drawing element to my practice. And the surface and texture is all kind of part of that. But then it's also sculptural in a way, because, like, usually a drawing is very, like, 2D. But my paintings end up being really, yeah, kind of thick and textured.
You said imperfection there. I guess, is there kind of like a line between, I guess, these concepts you're talking about, the, you know, even just the idea of like talking to a perfume, which is like the cheapest designer item you can buy, which is kind of got this element of imperfection and messy. Do you like to kind of further explore that in the material that you're using as well, as a kind of thorough
line? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because I enjoy a lot of artists that are kind of imperfect or like slightly naive. Like I love Karen Kilimnik. And like because my subject matter can like tend towards too perfected, too like ad like I don't want to make an ad. I want to do like a painting that's inspired by an ad. So yeah, I think that's where that kind of imperfection comes in.
I guess you kind of spoke to it a little bit before that. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your process. Obviously, painting or drawing these items of glamour, perfumes, high heels, bouquets of flowers directly is a starting point for inspiration. But are you able to walk me through a little bit more your process in making a work from its conceptual beginnings and then how that takes shape in your process practically?
So it usually starts with me taking a lot of photos. Like everywhere I go, I'm always taking photos of things. Like, yeah, displays, store windows, like shoes and handbags I like that I could never afford. And also Googling quite a lot of things. Like my camera roll is filled with like old Dior ads and stuff. And so it kind of starts like that. Like I think about what I want to express in my painting and start painting it. And usually it gets scraped off quite a few times. And I love like the distress that kind of happens. And I guess it's kind of like a Max Ernst or like kind of thing that happens sometimes where like images kind of evolve out of the painting where they weren't necessarily there to begin with. I've got a painting in this show which was a completely different painting to begin with that I scraped off and then drew a mouth on and kind of realized that the cat that I'd painted originally underneath the painting had kind of emerged again through scraping and working back. Yeah, so there's a lot of push and pull and kind of, I guess, subtraction and addition that goes into making these paintings.
That was August Ward speaking to me about her solo exhibition World of Interiors opening tonight at Ivan Anthony. That's on from 5:30 till 7:30, so head along.
Various artists, so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
You're listening to Various Artists here on 95BFM. We'll be right back. This is a track by Ultramarine featuring Anna Domino. This one's called Arithmetic. Keep it on the B.
Levado por uma crista de onda que o Atlântico trouxe com o amanhecer, você arrancou de Marurá e do Caudaloso. Nas matas ciliares que o bordejam, o Jaó.
Paris e o Bordeaux chama o Jaon.
Something I did, cause I cannot see the problem. Will you at least make me understand instead of saying sorry? Set you down on my bed, you said you wouldn't leave me, never know that. Now I'm out here, I'm doing my best, I'm trying to get over you real fast. How long's this gonna last? My friends are telling me I got it bad. Before it gets good, I'll be over you soon. Between us now, I can feel your body. And you don't look at me the way that you did. You say you need to think about it. Was it me? Was it something I did? Cause I cannot see the problem. Will you at least make me understand instead of saying sorry?
Let me see you, let me feel you, let me kiss you once at least. Is it too much to ask for? You say you're leaving in a minute, why won't you wait for me? Is it too much to ask for? Now let me tell you, let me tell you, let me tell you something about me. I've seen enough of your tricks, why you moving on suddenly? There's a space between us now, I can feel your body. And you don't look at me the way that you did. You say you need to think about it. Was it me? Was it something I did? Cause I cannot see the problem. Will you at least make me understand? Instead of saying sorry. Sat you down on my bed. You said you wouldn't leave me, never know that. Now I'm out here, I'm doing my best. I'm trying to get over you real fast. How long's this gonna last? My friends are telling me I got it bad. Before it gets good, I'll be over you soon.
Nigerian artist Shayun Kuti is bringing his impeccable funk-infused tunes to Auckland City. And if you're a holder of the Mighty B card, you could win a ticket to the party. Stay tuned to 95BFM Drive all week to be in to win. Shayun Kuti and Egypt 80, Saturday, May 30th, live at the Auckland Town Hall. Tickets on sale now from livenation.co.nz.
Hello, my little sparrows. If you're listening right now, then this message was meant for you. Claim it if it resonates. I've got my tarot deck here. I'm going to pull a card to illuminate an intention for you. Just shuffling. Ooh, it's the B card. This card represents prosperity, greatness, clout. Oh, I love this for you. Expect an abundance of free things. Music, merch, coffee, ticket.
Get a B card today from 95bfm.com for just $4.20 a month and be in to win tickets, albums, and more.
Okay, Meadow, we can't lose again or it's off to the factory. Go, Meadow, go! No, other way! Don't you want to live?
Gonna get there, good horse! Headway wins the Spring Cup!
Oh, no, Meadow. I won't let them take you, Meadow. We'll find a way. I just saw a documentary about a basketball-playing Labrador. Maybe you can learn an unconventional sport too.
Pony Ping Pong with Matt and Aaron, bringing as much entertainment to your Friday night as a Shetland pony skee-balling the table edge. With a mix of mash downs, candid conversation, cheap shots, and mystery celebrity nakedness. Pony Ping Pong, Friday, 9 till 11 p.m., only on 95BFM.
Audio. Culture.
Tune in to 95BFM Drive every second Tuesday as they're joined by one of our friends from Audio Culture, sharing the songs, stories, and salacious scandal from which is woven the mighty tapestry of New Zealand music.
Audio Culture, more cultured than a blue cheese with a BA. Every other Tuesday on 95BFM Drive.
Thanks to Audio Culture. Iwi Waiata, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Oh, that's a good art.
Andrea Duchatinier is a Whanganui-based artist primarily working amongst ceramics and glass to produce these playfully complex small-scale sculptures. Her practice circulates around this idea of experimentation, an investigation of clay, surfaces, glazes, and forms, driven by a fascination of material, what it can do and how it will react. Seeking and giving into all of its spontaneity and unpredictability, allowing the slumping, cracking, shifting of material to not only be allowed within the work, but to let its unpredictability guide the work. Within her upcoming show at Anna Miles Gallery, Everything Falls presents a new body of dazzling sculptures that both draw from her past works and previous pathways of experimentation while also delving headfirst into a new kind of experimentation, firing ceramic and glass together, two different materials that behave in completely different manners when placed in the kiln. But with this unpredictability come spontaneous moments of success, a meeting of forms, textures, and colours that lead the viewer into a theatrical electrical landscape of experimentation. I caught up with Andrea ahead of the show opening at Anna Miles tomorrow. Here's the chat now.
My name is Andrea Duchetinier, and I make ceramics. I think of myself as a sculptor, making small sculptures that are about how clay and how glaze work.
Wonderful. And your upcoming show at Anna Miles Gallery, Everything Falls, presents a dazzling new body of sculptures. I'd like to start this conversation off by speaking a bit to the beginnings of the show. Was there a specific idea or particular material process that sparked the beginning of this new body of work, or perhaps something that you wanted to revisit through this new body of work?
Oh, that's a great question. The work is really a continuum of 2 years of work, of trying different things. And I usually work in a really, really small series of probably about three. And after I've done three things, I get bored and move on to something else. And even out of those three, I might only, well, none of them might really work. I might have one. So with the show at Anna's, every single work is different. And it covers a whole lot of different ideas, but it draws on stuff that I've been working with in terms of clay for 15 years. And a lot of those, the approach is really about experimentation and testing and what a kiln does, what clay does, what glaze does. So it's a big body of work, and it does go back in time as well, pulling on some of the things that I like to play with.
Yeah, and your work seems to be a real investigation of clay as a material and what it can do, absorbing yourself in its material properties of manipulation and revisitation. As before the clay is fired, the material itself allows for a kind of constant manipulation. I wanted to ask, what about clay and ceramics as a medium, what really draws you to it as a medium and keeps you really excited and wanting to work with it?
Well, I've used a lot of different materials in the past, and I think clay is one of those materials that's really, really easy on some level, like kindergarten level, like squeezing it and poking it and modelling it. And yet on the other end of the scale, it can be amazingly difficult and really, really hard to control. So I think that it is this the tension between control and no control that really draws me to it. The idea that you can put something in a kiln and you never quite know what's going to happen. And you could do that. You could make things that you did know what was going to happen. And some people do that and have great mastery. But I don't like that. I've got a very short attention span. And I like there to be chance and surprise and endeavour and the trying to and the learning about. And that part of the making I really, really love. I find it totally engaging that I can fail and I can get depressed about failing. But if I keep going, I know that something will happen that I like. And if I put something in the kiln and it comes out just like I expect it to, I'm usually really disappointed with that. Yeah, oh, God, that's boring.
Your faces are so playfully fun, both in colour as well as form. I wanted to ask you a little bit about how you approach your making process. Do these pieces start off as sketches on paper or ideas in your head, or rather do you fully just lean into the spontaneity of it all and just leap into that making process?
Well, I think of myself as a sponge, and I do use a lot of sponge in my work, because as a sponge, I dip it in a porcelain slip and it absorbs the porcelain, and then I fire it and the sponge is burnt out. And I think that's a good metaphor for art making in general, is that we soak stuff up around us all of the time, that I'm always looking at things and I might unconsciously go, oh, I could use that, but I might. But I have to be making something. I have to be using that material. And my studio space is just filled with all of these samples and bits and pieces. And so I can look over and go, oh, look, gosh, that pink blobby thing looks really nice with that mustard gooey stuff. I'm making choices of the stuff that is around me. I do drawings to work things out, but really it's about the things that I see and the surprises and the interest in the stuff as I'm making and as I'm trying things, and then absorbing the new things into the practices. And it does, the work does come out looking very, I think people call it happy. I think it looks happy. Not that I'm always happy, but it looks happy.
Yeah, it seems like you really lean into this element of surprise and unpredictability within your work, especially with the firing of clay and glass and kind of those, putting those things together that you don't quite know what's going to happen. Do you want to tell me a little bit more about this and why you kind of love leaning into that spontaneity?
I just really like that idea of things not being totally fixed. I did a glass course because I also love learning new techniques. I mean, look at that. Ooh, that's exciting. Oh, I love that. And so I always like to keep that freshness happening. With the glass, I just can't believe how beautiful it is. And it is hard. It is really hard to work with in terms of putting it together with ceramics. It isn't a natural fit. It contracts at a different rate as it cools, so it cracks. But I feel as though the not quite being able to do it properly is where you get those surprises that keep the work alive and interesting. It's like a thumbprint or a finger mark in something that when it fails, the putting back together can be the thing of resourcefulness, ingenuity, and more surprise and chance in terms of how you might make something actually work in a way.
Yeah, wonderful. And your work has this kind of abstract 3D painterly quality to it, with this use of a lot of fun and bright colors, and if I'm correct, what appears to be some kind of spray painted on color to some description. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your use of color and what this color offers the work and how it kind of plays into and interacts with the sculptural forms.
Ooh, that's a tricky one. Ooh. I know, whenever I've made work of any sort, there's kind of a theatrical campness about it. It's just what I do. I can't help it. It's just what comes out of me. My father made ceramics, and they were beautiful. They were wood-fired and had that gorgeous authenticity to it. And I can really look at other people's work and appreciate that. But it's just not me. That colour saturation is something that turns me on. And so I use slips, which are matte, and so it's like a velvet, and they really hold colour really beautifully. They don't reflect the light. Like if you have a gloss glaze. It reflects the light off it, so it doesn't have that same intensity of colour. Mm. So I like using the slips. And I've been using a spray gun and had this obsession with gradients. Mm. And I've had an obsession with gradients for a long time because it's kind of a really wonderful thing about the instability of colour, one thing moving to another and never being an absolute yellow or green, but having that merging colour in the work.
Yeah, that in-between kind of moments that you explore with your making.
Yeah, the shifting thing.
Yeah.
And, I really like that things aren't absolutes, an absolute a standard of something. The spray guns are quite stressful to use. They're always getting clogged. Dreadful things.
And
putting all this stuff into the atmosphere and I have to wear masks and gloves and all sorts of stuff, which is not fabulous in terms of the fun of working. But I think it's worth it.
Yes.
Yes. And I have a huge compressor that is really noisy. So all those things that are nice about clay work, which is quiet and soft. And then I've got this machinery stuff that I have to use. It's kind of a paradox as well when you're thinking about clay.
Yeah, fun. And your work is full of these gloopy drips and extruded forms that are often slumped down with a kind of gravity, creating this wonderful index of forms and conversations within the pieces. I wanted to ask where these forms kind of arise from and if they're referencing or calling out to anything particular, or rather you're just more interested in that, like in a relationship and interactions between the forms and the pieces.
Well, I do love this blobby thing and the sense of movement that you can get. It's like a frozen moment that something is both soft and hard at the same time. It's like a paradox. And a lot of those investigations that I do are around this understanding of what a surface is. And call me superficial, but I love surfaces. I just love them. And so the gloopy stuff is glaze, and it has a high amount of feldspar in it, so it holds it and makes it very thick. But it actually looks like a type of glass. But it is a clay that has a different melting point. So those sort of things are really interesting for me, that you've got rigidity of clay, that when you put it into the kiln in this kind of controlled environment, that it makes things really rigid and breakable. But on the other hand, it has an ability to make things flow and to move and to transform. And so the gloopy stuff, I think, is it's like a magic way of actually identifying what happens when you fire this chemistry. It's very much about the type of alchemy that's going on. So that's why I like it. I like it a lot. I've got to stop it. It's just one step away from the glass thing, which is similar. Glass and clay are kind of similar but different.
Yeah, they each have their own different set of rules, and it's exciting putting them together.
Well, glass isn't. I don't know. It had an up period a few years ago, and it's a down period. But I think that it kind of doesn't get as much attention as it should because it's so pretty and so beautiful. I don't know. Oh, also it is expensive and it is technical, and I think that puts a lot of people off using it.
Yeah. And my last question for you is, what are your hopes for people engaging with the work? What do you hope they will get out of it or experience as they're looking at the work?
Oh, that's a lovely question, because that is something that I really think about. Most art making is about communicating in some way. And I like my works to be about sensation and about touch, even if you can't touch your work, there's that feeling that you want to, that you want to run your hands over it and feel what those blobs actually feel like, or the difference between the smoothness and the matteness, and that tactility is something that I, you know, really want people to feel and to appreciate. And I want them to experience the joy. That's the colour thing is joyful. I want them to feel optimistic and happy. And I also want them to wonder, oh, how did she do that? You know, like, oh, gosh, oh, that's, I don't quite understand what's happening there. I like that too. I like that.
That was Andrea Duchatinier speaking to me about her upcoming show at Anna Miles Gallery, Everything Falls. The show opens tomorrow at the gallery between 3 and 5 p.m., so head along to that if you would like.
What's it all for?
Various artists.
We'll be right back with your arts guide. Keep it on the B.
close as I can, close as I can, close as I can, close as I can.
For
to stand. If I can, I will let go. I've chosen so. I will be here like a plan.
It's the 95 BFM Art Guide on various artists.
It's paintings in that.
This week in the wonderful world of art in Tāmaki Makaurau, as mentioned on the show, August Ward's World of Interiors opens tonight at Ivan Anthony from 5:30 till 7:30 p.m. The exhibition then runs until the 30th of May.
Also, as mentioned on the show, Everything Falls by Andrea Duchatinier opens tomorrow at Anna Miles Gallery from 3 to 5 p.m.
Also opening tonight is The Blue Dome by Selena Ashadi at Artspace Aotearoa. That's happening from 6 till 8 p.m.
Two new exhibitions opened at Room this week. Firstly, a series of completely accurate self-portraits by Brittany Walker-Smith, and also a ponder of transported local delicacies by Antonia Barnett McIntosh. Both are on until the 30th of May.
Olivia Ash's solo exhibition Upon a Fragile Plane is on view at Uxbridge's Malcolm Smith Gallery until the 9th of May.
Vera Ditas is on at Melanie Roger Gallery until the 2nd of May.
Atarangi Anderson and Georgia Tikaputini Douglas Hood's joint exhibition Moahua is on at Grace Aotearoa until the 9th of May.
Ingrained by Martino Gamper is on at Object Space until the 31st of May.
Amon Ngakuru's Telltale A Dog is on at Te Uru Waitakere Contemporary Gallery until the 17th of May.
And Dreaming From Afar, a group show exhibiting works by Brunel Diaz-Prims, Gian Manick and Tyrone Tewa is on at Gus Fisher Gallery until the 2nd of May. If you have something you want on the Arts Guide, you can email us at arts@95bfm.com.
That was the 95BFM Art Guide.
Ko ira te hōtaka katoa mō tēnei wiki. Nei te mihi kia koutou katoa I kura mai ki māua mō tēnei rā.
That's all for us for various artists for today. Ngā mihi nui to everyone who spoke with us today.
August Ward.
And Andrea Duchatinier.
Nei rā, hoki te mihi kia koutou e whakarongo ana. Thanks for tuning in.
And remember, you can listen back to all of today's pieces on 95BFM.com or you can check out our Instagram at 95BFM various artists for more.
Ka hoki mai mātoa, te rā. Wiki. Next up is The Land of the Good Groove with Nigel. My name is Soph.
I'm Maya.
And that was various artists.
We'll catch you next week.
You're listening to 95BFM. Keep it on the beat.
Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.